Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good morning, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Saturday, October the 20th, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will preview and break down the game this Sunday between the Detroit Lions and the Miami Dolphins, tell you everything you need to know. But before we get to that, there is some news we have to talk about. And let's start off with Devontae Parker. It does sound like he'll play on Sunday. He was very optimistic about that. Head coach Adam Gase says, we'll see, we'll take it day by day. But it does seem like he will be able to play. Last week he played zero catches, did nothing. And on the first interception thrown by Brock Osweiler, Parker, you know, showed little effort to try and stop the defender from making the play. So, I mean, he at this point, he is just a liability on the field. But on Friday, he was asked by the media, you know, about all the trade rumors that are out there about him and him possibly being moved in the next week or two here before the NFL trade deadline. And the answer he gives is why Devontae Parker will never be successful in the NFL. And I'm going to read you the answer he gave, and it's just, it's so frustrating, because again, this guy, you know, he has the tools to be a successful player, but the one thing he clearly doesn't have is the heart. And even on a simple question like this, he can't even give a straight answer, you know, and his answer just shows his laissez-faire type attitude, his, you know, whatever. So when asked if he would be open to being traded and such, he goes, here's the quote. Yeah, I would love to be here long term. I get along with everybody here, front office, all of them. Cool people. I wouldn't mind being here for long term. Then the reporter followed up, so you'd prefer not to be traded then? And he goes, yeah, I prefer not to be. I want to be here. But it's a business, so whatever happens, happens. You can't control some things. That's the wrong answer. Any NFL player worth his salt, when he's asked, would you like to be traded, unless they're going through some very public spat with the team, you say, no, I want to be here long term. I love it in Miami. I want to help this team win games and get to a Super Bowl. You say something along those lines. His attitude here just shows you it's sort of that passive attitude, which we see on the field with him. And that he goes, yeah, I prefer not to be traded, but it's a business, so if it happens, it happens. I got no control over it. No, you actually do have control over it, Devontae. If you showed up, stayed healthy, and played, the team wouldn't look to be trading you. This is why it's so frustrating with this guy, and there's a disconnect with him. Because clearly, between the ears, there's not a lot of brain activity taking place. This is a layup question you're asked by the press. Do you want to be traded? The answer is no. I want to stay in Miami. I want to win games. I want to make it work here. I hope I can get a long-term extension at the end of the year. I think I can help this team win games. That's the answer. The answer is, yeah, everybody here is kind of cool, but, you know, it's a business, so whatever happens, happens. You can't control it. That's just the wrong message. Period. End of story. And that's why, you know, I get a lot of feedback via email, via social media. Why are you so hard on Devontae Parker? Why don't you just cut him some slack? No, the guy was a first-round pick. He has been robbing the Miami Dolphins of a lot of money here for 4 years. And you know, he does nothing on the field. So right there is a reason why I shouldn't go easy on him. But you read a quote like this, and he gave a similar quote last year about saying, do you ever, you know, ask for the ball more, command the ball, go out there and assert yourself, saying, hey, throw me the ball? He goes, no, if the quarterback wants to throw it to me, he can throw it to me. If he doesn't, I understand. Wrong answer then, and this answer is even worse. It's never going to work with this guy. Honestly, I said it prior to week one. If the team, if it gets off to a hot start, which it did, 3-0, without him, and, you know, should he want to come back, and or should he be healthy enough to come back, you know, I'd be in no rush to put him out there. And what we saw last week against the Bears is why he adds virtually nothing to this team on the field. And then you read a quote like this from Friday. This quote is less than 24 hours old at the time I'm recording this on Saturday morning. And he's sitting going, yeah, I prefer not to be traded, but it's okay if it happens. Whatever. I mean, he doesn't care, folks. He doesn't care. The guy just is cashing a paycheck. He doesn't care about wins and losses. He doesn't care about taking care of his body. He's not putting in the work. He doesn't care. And it's quotes like this that just jump off the screen when you read it, saying it just goes, it's never going to change with him. So, nobody, look, no team in their right mind will trade for him, because why would any team give up anything for this guy? He's a clown. He's a joke. He's not, I mean, he's not a real player. But at the end of the year, he will be released. I think Miami should just outright release him now. He adds nothing to this team. He's not going to help win any games this year. I would just let go of him now and just move on, rip the Band-Aid off type of deal. But who knows if they will. But there is 0.0% chance Devontae Parker's on the Miami Dolphins in 2019. Take that to the bank. And I know I'm not wrong. So that's that. The other news story, of course, Ryan Tannehill. Not much new to report, but it sounds like this might take a while. He was at practice on Thursday. He was going through the motions, but he wasn't able to even lift his arm to pretend throw. You know, even fake a throw with no football in his hand. So this might be a while here. From all reports, from various places now, of course, the first story was broken by the guys at the Five Reasons Sports Network. They did a great job. But now there's more coming out about this, and it's coming out from various publications. But it sounds like the first chance that you might see him back is against the Jets in about, what, 2.5 weeks or so. I'm not even sure if that's realistic. It sounds like to me, and once again, I'm no doctor, but it sounds like if you can't even lift your arm, if you can't even lift your arm to fake throwing a football, that's not good. And I think the strength in that arm, it might take a bit to come back. They're saying it's not a labrum injury. It's not a rotator cuff injury. I'm not even quite sure what the injury is. That hasn't really been made clear on any level. But it does sound like this might be a bit. I would, if I had to guess, I think the first chance, and once again, this is just a guess, the first chance we see Tannehill back would be after the bye week, which leads you to the Sunday after Thanksgiving. I think this injury, just from the little tidbit you get from this source, the little tidbit you get from that source, you sort of put it all together, read between the lines. I think this is going to take a while, and it sort of leads back to my point I made after the game last week. Depending on what the team's record is, if they go on a streak here, they lose, you know, 3 in a row here, then there's no reason to rush him back, because pretty much at that point, the season would be lost for all intents and purposes. If the team wins a few games, though, then it's like you're not going to move on from Osweiler, because obviously something's working with him, and he's got this team with some winning ways. So with Tannehill here, it's sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't know under what scenario he comes back in. Because, like I said, if the team's winning, you're not going to sort of upset the apple cart. You're going to keep Osweiler under center. If the team's losing, then is it really in Tannehill's best interest to get him back on the field to get hit more if his throwing arm, you know, probably won't be 100%, but is just good enough to play? So for Tannehill, I don't know. I said this on the show earlier this week, and I'm not saying it was certainty. I'm just saying I'm starting to think we've seen him play his last game as a member of the Miami Dolphins. And if that's the case, I want to break down the salary cap ramifications real quick here. Again, I know it's early, but just so it's sort of in the back of your mind what the options are. And this was reported by Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald. If Tannehill's on the team next season, let's say Tannehill gets healthy, he's okay, and for some reason the front office and the head coach are here and they want to still continue to try and win with Ryan Tannehill, which I think would be absolutely insane. But if that's what they want to do, he's on the team, Ryan Tannehill will be paid $18.7 million in 2019, but the salary cap hit, and this is all that matters, the salary cap hit is $26.6 million. So if Ryan Tannehill is on this team in 2019, without any type of restructure or nothing, he will count $26.6 million against the salary cap. That's lunacy for a player who, A, has shown he's not very good, B, would be coming off now a knee injury and a shoulder injury, and who just doesn't seem to be progressing as an NFL starting quarterback. And is pretty much his, at this point, I think you could say his career track is within the next year or so, he's probably going to be a solid backup quarterback in this league and not a guy who's going to have many more chances to start once he leaves Miami. So that's, if they keep him, he will count $26.6 million on the cap. If the Dolphins cut him after the season without a post-June 1st designation, the Dolphins would have $13.4 million in dead money on the 2019 cap, but they'd also save $13.2 million in salary cap savings. So essentially it's a wash. If they release him at the end of the year without a post-June 1st designation, it's almost like a no harm, no foul. So that's probably the most logical move, the most realistic. Now, if the Dolphins release Tannehill at the end of the year, but label him a post-June 1st designation, they would only have $7.9 million in dead money, which is less, and they would have $18.75 million in salary cap space. The issue is you wouldn't get that $18.75 until after June 1st when free agency is pretty much over. So it's going to handcuff you in trying to sign players next offseason in March, April, and May. So, you know, that is a route they could take. It all depends how much they feel they need or want to spend in free agency. So, but it look, as I said, nobody knows. Nobody knows how bad this injury is. Nobody knows how this is going to play out. But as I sit here today on Saturday morning, October 20th, if I had to guess, I think Ryan Tannehill, even if he comes back this year at some point, will not be on this roster in 2019. The first part of this year, the first five games he did play, were not good. And it was getting worse as the games went on. So I think when all is said and done, we've seen the last of Tannehill in Miami. If he is on the field this year at some point again, you know, great. But I just don't see a situation where we might see that, though. Because if the team is winning, this is Osweiler's job. If the team's losing and are sort of out of the playoff race, then why are you going to rush a guy back just to get hit more? That's not in his best interest as a player. So I don't know when we'll see him again or if we'll see him again. But those are the options at the end of the year with Tannehill. It's going to be one of those three, folks, because he is not going to come back. We'll get into the preview of the Lions game after the break. But first, let me just go over some injury news real quick. Bobby McCain, it appears he will play this week. He has practiced pretty much in full most of the week, and it appears he will be back, and they're going to need him, so that's good news. Cameron Wake, that'll be probably a game-time decision, although it looks like he may be able to go this week. Not official, we won't know till Sunday, but looks like he may be able to go, so positive news there. Andre Branch, who sort of didn't practice much on Friday, he's good to go, though. That was more of a rest day for him. Andre Branch, because Miami is thin at defensive end. Jonathan Woodard will not play this week. He's already ruled out. Charles Harris is already ruled out. Those two guys won't play. The Miami Dolphins really need Wake this week, even if it's only for a few snaps. If he could play, that would be a big help, because if not, they're going to go in this game with Robert Quinn, Cameron Melvo, and Andre Branch, and that's it at defensive end. They need more there, so hopefully Wake can give them something. We will see. Tannehill also ruled out. Like I said, Devontae Parker, hopeful he can suit up and play, but that's not official yet. So they're starting to get some guys back here. Bobby McCain is by far the biggest because the Lions can hit you with multiple wide receivers and very talented ones. So that's the latest injury news. What I'm going to do right now is take a quick break. Then after the break, we will talk about this Sunday's game between the Lions and the Miami Dolphins. Talk about the matchups that are key, what to watch for. Talk about the weather, where you can see it on TV, who the announcers are, the whole nine yards, which we do every week. So sit tight, and we'll be back after this.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
All right, we're back, and let's get into the preview for this Sunday's game at 1 p.m. Eastern between the Detroit Lions and the Miami Dolphins. This game is going to about 6% of the country, so it's not going to be seen much outside of the South Florida-Miami region and the Michigan area, so odds are it will not be on your local Fox affiliate, and you will have to find yourself at a sports bar unless you own the NFL Sunday ticket. So your announcers this week are Dick Stockton and Mark Schlereth. Now, folks, I'm not one to complain much about the announcers, but Dick Stockton is old as dirt, and he makes a ton of mistakes. And Mark Schlereth is one of those guys who will just keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again for four quarters and just sort of get under your skin and be annoying as all heck. So this is going to be a tough listen, I'm not going to lie. Dick Stockton and Mark Schlereth are not good broadcasters, and this one might be a tough listen, so you might have to turn the volume down or something in your house on this one. The weather looks perfect. A typical Miami day looks very similar to the day we saw last Sunday against the Chicago Bears. It will be 86 degrees, 0% chance of rain, and the wind looks like, you know, between 9 and 10 miles an hour out of the southwest there, so it shouldn't be a huge factor with wind, but it looks like, not a cloud in the sky. 86 degree, typical Miami day in October, where the heat will be a factor for the Lions, who will be out there baking in the sun with no shade. So let's start off with this game. Let's start off first when the Miami Dolphins have the football. And, you know, Brock Osweiler is under center. And what we saw last week for five quarters, if you count the overtime, was, you know, a typical Brock Osweiler performance. Safe, short passes. And, you know, he threw two interceptions, but again, as I've been saying all week, you know, two turnovers from Osweiler, you know, not the end of the world. Because Tannehill, well, you know, he would turn the ball over most weeks, you know, anywhere between one and three times. So as long as it's only twice and not much more than that, the Miami Dolphins will be okay. Osweiler, he is who he is. We all know, look, he's not a good quarterback. We know what we get with Brock Osweiler. The one thing I will say, last week against the Bears, his passer rating against the blitz was doubled what Ryan Tannehill does against the blitz. So Osweiler, you know, because he so that is one thing with him, is when he faces pressure, he finds a way to get rid of the ball quick, even if you're just throwing it away, not take the sack. And once again, he was not sacked at all last week, which is part on the offensive line, but it's also part on him. He got rid of the ball, didn't take the sack. And also didn't, you know. So, it is what it is with him. And I think the offense this week, look, the Lions are going to be ready for the short passing game. What we saw Albert Wilson do last week, they're going to be ready for. They're going to look to wrap him up early. They're going to pay attention as soon as the ball gets in his hands. They're going to be ready for that. So, the Miami Dolphins, they're going to have to mix it up this week. First and foremost, keep running Frank Gore. Frank Gore, between the tackles, is running the football right now at a very good level. And this Miami Dolphins offensive line, while it played better last week, is still not very good across the board. But Frank Gore is finding success running the ball. He was running the ball well against the Cincinnati Bengals. And for some reason, the head coach, he got away from it. Don't know why. Never will understand it. But he ran well against the Bengals, Frank Gore. He ran tremendously against the Chicago Bears. And continue to run that ball, minimize the amount of throws Osweiler has to make. And I think that's the recipe for Miami Dolphins offense to have success. You know, you're going to have to take your shots down the field with Stills and Grant and all that, which is fine. But I think offensively, though, that's the recipe. Run the ball and get the ball with short, quick passes to your playmakers. The Lions are going to be ready for it. And because the Lions are going to be ready for it, I think Miami should actually mix it up a little more this week. I wouldn't mind to see a little more Wildcat, actually. Because you know the Lions aren't going to be ready for the short passing game. You know they're going to be ready for guys like Grant and Wilson. Mix it up. Show them something that they might not be expecting. Not necessarily a trick play or anything, but, you know, line up in the Wildcat 2, 3, 4 times this week. And throw in a wrinkle to keep the Lions honest and make them think about something else. I wouldn't mind seeing that this week because the Miami Dolphins are going to have to be creative to put up points here with Osweiler under center and with the offensive line in the state that's in. I will say this about the offensive line right now. Laremy Tunsil is playing at a Pro Bowl level, and Travis Swanson at center is surprising the heck out of me. I don't know how long it's going to last, but enjoy it while it's lasting. He's playing pretty good right now at center. So as long as those two guys are playing well, your center and your left tackle, you know, everything else will pretty much fall into place. But I want to give credit, though, to Swanson because I've been hard on him all year. And I know it's not going to last long, and I know there's going to be a time where either A, he gets hurt just because that's his MO, or B, he sort of falls off the cliff. But right now he's playing well, so we should give him credit for that. But that's the key for the Dolphins here. The Lions, their outside cornerbacks are really not very good at all. They're giving up the sixth most passing yards per game, and they are struggling. So someone here like Stills, you know, maybe Parker makes one play this week to help us win. I won't hold your breath. But Stills, Grant, you know, aim for the outside. This is a game where, you know, you want to see Osweiler throw outside the numbers and get the ball up the field to wide receivers because the Lions cornerbacks aren't very good. And the speed Miami can bring with Grant and Stills on the outside here could cause a bit of a matchup nightmare for the Lions. Now, on the other side of the ball, the Miami Dolphins defense right now is playing tremendous ball. Tremendous ball. And with the news Bobby McCain should play, it should only get better. Minkah Fitzpatrick right now is shutting down people in the slot. In the slot, he's only allowing a 48.6 passer rating against him at this point. And, you know, he's on the field, you know, 69% of the time. So that's a tremendous number for Fitzpatrick. But the key here is going to make not let Matthew Stafford be comfortable and get to him, give him some happy feet, and make him move around. Because the Lions wide receivers in Tate, Jones, and Galladay, you know, they're going to just be a nightmare for the Miami Dolphins cornerbacks. Xavien Howard can only cover one. He can't cover them all. Bobby McCain, you know, he should be back. Will he be 100%? Don't know. And, excuse me, and Minkah Fitzpatrick, you know, in the slot, he's doing okay, but this will be probably his toughest test of the year. The Lions can hit you in waves at wide receiver, and all three of those guys are big plays waiting to happen. You look at the Lions running game. They got the rookie from Auburn, Kerryon Johnson, along with LeGarrette Blount. And, you know, that's a nice little 1-2 punch there. They're not known for running the ball well, but they're doing okay. And the Miami Dolphins front seven, which has been a pleasant surprise this year and getting better each game, you know, we're going to have to shut them down. And you want to make the Lions one-dimensional. The problem is if you shut down the run and you force the Lions to pass, I'm not sure if just eventually law of averages, the Lions will break a big play or two in the passing game. But that's the key. Shut down the run and force Matthew Stafford to throw it 40, 45 times. Because if he does, I think you can sort of trick him into a mistake here or there. And as we've seen this year with the Dolphins, they are just a turnover machine, and they're turning the ball over at a very high level. But if I'm the Dolphins, that's the game plan. Matt Patricia is the Lions head coach, very familiar with the Dolphins, very familiar with head coach Adam Gase. He should be ready. We're not going to sort of fool him with the Miami Dolphins offense. That's why I'm saying this might be a week here to throw in a wrinkle, run some Wildcat, you know, 3, 4, 5 times this week and sort of maybe get him off kilter some. But this is a game here between two teams that are very equally matched. And I think the key to the game is, obviously, will be the quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford is a much better quarterback than Brock Osweiler. I think wide receivers, you know, for the most part are pretty much even. Maybe a slight edge to the Lions, but the Miami Dolphins with their speed there, pretty much even. The Lions offensive line, you know, good, not great. It's good. It's nothing to write home about. On defense, Miami has a much better secondary, but the front seven for the Lions is pretty good right there. So I'm just thinking, you know, it really will come down to the quarterback play. Can Brock Osweiler not turn the ball over? And can the Miami Dolphins sort of, you know, get Matthew Stafford to make a couple mistakes? And that's going to be the story of this game. It really is all on Brock Osweiler this week, which is probably not a good thing for the Dolphins. But when push comes to shove, this Miami Dolphins team at home plays much better. And, you know, even heading back to 2016, they have been in some of the most wild and crazy games I can remember in a long time in the history of the Miami Dolphins. I've been following this team, you know, for well over 35 years. And I've seen almost every game in that span. Just some of the wild games they've been in Miami of late. And they always find a way to come out on top. Don't ask me how. Don't ask me why, but they just somehow find a way to come out on top, and I think this might be one of those games, probably not as crazy as last week's game against the Bears, but I see it being a close game, and I see it being a game where, you know, a lot of back and forth. This team's got the lead, now that team's got the lead, this team's got the lead, now that team's got the lead. So I think it's going to be a back and forth game. I think it's going to be a close game, and when it's all said and done, my prediction is the Miami Dolphins 24. The Lions 22. Miami 24, Lions 22. Something just tells me the magic will continue for one more week. I think Osweiler, I have very little faith in him being a quality quarterback over the long term, but I think we might sneak out another good performance from him this week. And like I said, this Lions team secondary is struggling, and if he can get the ball in the hands of Stills, Wilson, Grant, and Amendola, I think there are plays to be made there. Mix in a little Frank Gore. Miami, this is a week where you want to win the time of possession. I think you almost must win the time of possession, because if you give the Lions wide receivers and Matthew Stafford enough opportunities, they're going to make plays in the passing game. There's going to be a play or two where Tankersley or Torrey McTyer is on the field just to give a guy a spell, and they will take advantage of that all day long. So time of possession here is key for Miami. Own the football, control the tempo, and I think the Dolphins will sneak out a close win. This is probably the toughest game I've had to predict all year, because I think it's really a toss-up game. It could go either way, and I'm not confident with this prediction of 24-22 Dolphins, but I just, you know, at home, they just find a way. And they found some crazy ways to win. You could make a case they shouldn't have won the Raiders game at home. They found a way to win. You can make a case they should have lost last week's game to the Bears. They were down 21-10. They found a way to win. I think we'll get one more of those types of performances this week against the Lions, where they probably have no business winning the game, but the next thing you know, they're hanging around, and they find a way to sneak out a win. So we'll see. But this Sunday on Fox, that's the game, and that is my prediction. So that is all for today's show. I would like to thank everyone once again for listening. Be sure to check out all the new articles and work up at DolphinsTalk.com, and also follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk, and check out all the new videos we have on the site from Anthony Saba. Anthony's been doing amazing work. I'm going to have him on the podcast next week, but check out all his videos. Main page of the site, go straight to the bottom. A ton of new videos, breakdowns, analysis, and he shows you everything that's out there. He's the best in the business when it comes to breaking down videos. Remember, Anthony Saba has a Sugar Bowl ring for doing this type of stuff with the Miami Hurricanes back in the Hurricanes glory days. So he's just not some fan sitting at home cutting up film. He has done it at a very high level for a big-time program in the Miami Hurricanes, and now he's doing it for our site here for the Dolphins. So check out all of Anthony's work. As always, wherever you listen to this podcast, whether iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Podbean, wherever, be sure to subscribe to it so every time a new show drops, it goes right to your smart device. And I think that's all for today. Everyone enjoy your Saturday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.